This week's parsha is Parshas Chukas. Parshas Chukas is interesting because between Perek Vayetzas, Parah Aduma, and Perek Chaf, Misas Miriam, we have a span of 38 years. The parsha in Perek Vayetzas tells us about Zos Chukas HaTorah being the Parah Aduma. The classic chok of Torah is the red heifer, which is the classic mystery because the ashes of the red heifer are metaher the tmeim, but they are also metami the tahorim. He who is ritually impure through contact with a corpse will become purified through the process of being sprinkled with the waters and the ashes of the red heifer. On the other hand, he who is involved with preparing the ashes of the red heifer from the other side starts off tahor and ends up tamei. It's a classic mystery. Also in this week's parasha, we have the tragic death of Miriam, followed by the even more tragic sin of Moshe and Aaron at Meribah when they are banished from Eretz Yisrael. After that, we have a battle with Amalek and Shiras B'nai Yisrael for the Be'er. But I want to talk about what the parasha's name is, and that is Chukas, because the mitzvah of Parah Aduma is a classic chok, a classic mitzvah for which we do not understand the reason for. But chok and chuka actually has two meanings, not one. I'm quoting from the Sefer Shalom Rav, Insights on the Weekly Parasha, Volume 2, Insights of Rabbi Shalom Rosner on the Parasha. The name of the Parasha, Chukat, has two meanings. The popular interpretation is a law without an apparent reason or logical explanation, such as the red heifer. A second interpretation is in reference to a chakika, which means to be engraved. The Torah describes the mitzvos as being engraved on the luchos. Rabbi Shlomo Zevin in La Torah V'Lamo Adim suggests that two interpretations of chok, one being a law for which has no rational explanation, and the other being engraved, are actually not mutually exclusive in the context of the performance of mitzvos. These two interpretations of chok are actually intertwined. Firstly, with respect to chakika, engraving, there are two methods of inscribing. You can write with ink, using a pen or quill, or you can engrave, carve words into a stone. There's a stark difference between these two methods. If you write with a pen, ink on paper, the ink is inherently a separate entity from the paper. It does not become one with the paper. There are ways to remove or erase the ink from the paper. It is not permanently etched into the paper. In contrast, when you engrave a letter into a stone, the letters become part of the stone itself. They become one with the entity. They cannot become separated. In Mishlei Perek Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, we are told the following: inscribe them, meaning the mitzvos, upon the tablet of your heart, Luach Libecha. This is a reference to engraving Torah on our hearts, making Torah become part and parcel of our heart. It should be an entity. Torah and mitzvot should become an entity that cannot be separated from the people that we are. How do we get the Torah not just onto our heart, but actually engraved into our heart? Rabbi Zevin suggests something very interesting that connects chok, a mitzvah we don't understand, with chuka, engraved. Rabbi Zevin suggests if we view the laws of the Torah as chukim, laws without a rational reason, then they will become chakukim, engraved on our hearts. If we perform mitzvah because of a particular reason that we associate with that mitzvah, we run the risk of diminishing the importance and the significance of the mitzvah. What happens if the underlying reason is no longer applicable? Then the reason is external, and then it is not an inherent part of the mitzvah. However, as the Sefer HaChinuch writes in the introduction to his Sefer, all the reasons he suggests for mitzvos are simply tasty, making it tasty for a ta'amei ha-mitzvah. It's a taste of a mitzvah, but the reason we give for a mitzvah is not the real reason. We can't understand God's cheshbonos. We don't know why he said what he said and why he commands what he commands and why he does what he does. The way to make sure that the Torah and words of Torah are engraved on our heart, they are chakuk on our heart, if we want it engraved to be part and parcel of who we are, is to have the outlook of chok. We accept all the mitzvos, irrespective of any logical or rational reasoning. So it's true, the Parah Aduma is a chok that we don't understand the reason, we don't understand how it works. But let's say it comes to Kibbutz Avaim, that we think we do understand. So the problem when we start to rationalize mitzvos, when we don't see them as chukim, is they will remain separate from who we are. If they want them chakuk al libecha, engraved upon your heart, we must accept all the mitzvos with realizing we keep them because Hashem said, not because I understand. With this piece by Rabbi Shalom Rosner in mind, I now want to quote from Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav Zatzal. He's commenting on Lo Tirzach, do not kill. So do not kill is a classic mishpat. Most moral, upright, ethical people understand why you should not kill. However, says Rav Soloveitchik, man, no matter what persuasion, faith, or ideology, condemns the murderer an act of murder. Yet, what about a situation so vividly portrayed by Dostoevsky in his novel Crime and Punishment? Even if you have not read it, like I have not, you will still understand the lesson from the Rav. The book depicts a cruel, miserly old woman, a loan shark, sucking the blood of those unfortunates caught in her web. A person who evicts the oiled and the frail on a winter day, in freezing temperatures. Depicted in sharp contrast is a brilliant young student who cannot afford to continue his medical studies. He hopelessly watches as his sister is sold into white slavery, an exile to an oriental country. A loan of a few hundred rubles could have remedied his unfortunate situation. Yet the old woman, the cruel, miserly old woman, refuses to grant him the money. In a moment of despair, the student kills the miser. Do we have a right to condemn the student? Should we consider such murder a crime? The answer is the Almighty has forbidden murder, whatever the motive. If the sinfulness of murder, quote, is solely a result of human moral judgment, then why not permit abortion? In other words, the Rav is saying, if you want to rationalize the mitzvos, then there will be times when even the mishpatim do not make sense. Let's say, like in the example that he just gave, someone has so much money and the next guy next to him can't pay tuition or the mortgage or for food. So why can't I go to the bank account of the richest man on earth and steal $100,000, these billions of dollars he'll literally never know, and give it to the neighbor, and then they'll be able to afford the tuition and the mortgage and food? Why can't I do that? The rich guy has so much money, can't spend it in his whole life. Because the Torah says, lo signovu, can't steal, you can't steal. You can't start to rationalize the mitzvahs. If you want the mitzvahs to be chakuka, engraved on your heart, to be part and parcel of who you are, non-erasable and non-negotiable, the only way to do that is to view the entire Torah as a chok. Because if you think you understand, what happens when you don't understand? If human conscience is the judge, says the Rav, inconvenience to the mother should take precedence over the extinction of life. But if the Almighty is the judge, then abortion in normal cases is morally equivalent to murder. If the human psyche does not consider the killing of an unborn child repugnant, if murder is permitted based solely on a subjective moral sensitivity, then take it a step further. Maybe, says the Rav, we should allow euthanasia as well. If the prohibition against murder is only nurtured by our own sensitivity, then perhaps we should say a doctor should kill an older person for the sake of obtaining a heart transplant for a younger person. The problem becomes when we rationalize the mitzvos that we are pitching our rational minds, our moral minds, and our mortal minds against the Ribono Shel Olam Kaviyachol, against the Kol Yachol, against the one who created the world, who sustains the world, who is here from the beginning and who will be here till the end of time. How can we understand God's reasoning and rationale? So all mitzvos have to be viewed as chukim, because otherwise, at times, we may rationalize and say they don't apply to me. Morality is not based on man's cognitive ability, says the Rav Beferish, even in regard to mishpatim. I will repeat that. Morality is not based on man's cognitive abilities, even in regard to mishpatim, those laws which seem understandable. Since certain aspects of even these laws are inaccessible to human moral exploration and illumination. And we just gave two examples. One, the Rav says, Lo Tirzach. Is that young man wrong for killing the miserly old woman? What's the answer? The Torah says, Lo Tirzach. So you can't kill. What about Lo Signovu? What about the guy who has billions of dollars and my neighbor who can't pay her tuition, mortgage, and Tochei Shabbos? This is a fictitious neighbor, but imagine. Why can't I steal from the billionaire to give that woman $100,000 a year? He'll never even know. The answer is the Torah says, Lo signovu, thou shalt not steal. And that is the reason why. Says Rabbi Rosner, in order to engrave the words of the Torah into our hearts, chakika, We need to have the attitude of chok, fulfilling the mitzvah because Hashem commanded us to do so, even if we lack rational explanation of a mitzvah. Hence, zos chukat haTorah, this is the law of Torah. So it's true, I don't understand para aduma, and I keep it because God said you have to keep it. That should be our attitude vis-a-vis all the mitzvahs, whether we think we understand them or whether we don't, whether we have tamei mitzvot or whether we do not. Zos chukat haTorah means that all the mitzvahs should be seen as a chok when we engrave them upon our heart, solely because that is Ratzon Hashem, that we will truly become one with Torah and mitzvot and Be'ezor Hashem, be able to fulfill Ratzon Hashem in all times, in all situations. Thank you so much. I wish everybody a wonderful day and a Shabbat Shalom. Kol Tov. Thank you to all.